Dein Stein.
Okay. So, the title of the share is Update on Japanese Whiskey. How many of you know about Japanese whiskey?
No.
You do know? Which one of you have? Habiki, have you heard? Okay, so let me just give you a bit of a background. First of all, for those that are looking for a hechsher on whiskey, there are, to the best of my knowledge, there are no kosher Japanese whiskies, as far as I know. They love dafka that they're not kosher, but there are no, at this moment in time, no Japanese whiskies. And the reason is because stamazai, to get kosher in with the Japanese, is stamazai difficult. Lav dafka whiskies, anything. Japanese are a very tough nation. They, first of all, they don't like to show what their, you know, their secrets or whatever they're doing to others. They're not interested. And if, even if they do, they will do it, and they do what they do properly. And as far as they're concerned, you know, theirs is the best, and whatever they do is the best. And therefore, you know, they're not going to be tempted so easily to have a kosher certificate. But just let me give you a difference between Japanese whiskies and other whiskies. The Japanese whiskey was started about 100 years ago, and the people that started the Japanese whiskies, they came to Scotland to try and learn the tricks of whiskey, and they'll be very, very successful. As you know, they are very sharp people, and they're very effective, and they know what they're doing, and that's where they learn. So therefore, they are Talmidim of Scottish whiskies. The difference between Scottish whiskies and other whiskies is that Scottish whiskies, in the first process, which is the more simple process, they do not use anything else, any additions apart from yeast and that's it, right? So apart from yeast, it's a very pure product. It's a very pure product. Whereas other whiskies, which include all American and Irish definitely, and many, many other, at the very first stage, they're already introducing enzymes to help the fermentation process. Apart from yeast, and there is something else, caramel, right? So Scottish whiskey, of course, is allowed to have caramel in, and all the caramel, I must tell you, is absolutely kosher because it's produced by one very huge global company, which is called D.D. Williamson. They supply all the caramel to all whiskey. And the yeasts, certainly the yeasts which are available, most of them that will be used for anything in Europe, I can tell you, also the ones in America. I was just recently in America and I was looking at a lot of the bourbon. The yeasts are kosher. The yeasts are mainly, it's hard to find that they're using what you might describe a grape yeast for the whiskey. Most of them are baker's yeast. So that stage, so what's the difference, what's the uniqueness of Japanese whiskies over Scottish? So let me just say, the way how you produce the Japanese whiskey is exactly the same mahalach as a Scottish whiskey. As you mentioned, there's no enzymes. The minute you're putting in enzymes, and you can have sometimes 4 or 5 enzymes in the whiskey, which happens with Irish whiskies, American whiskies, as we say, those enzymes will have to have a hechsher, because that's certainly a very starker part in the fermentation process, and you would want them to have a hechsher. In America, it's hard to find the enzyme without a hechsher. Right? America is the land of Hashem, and it's hard to find the end of Hashem. The difference between Scottish and Japanese whiskey is that in Scotland, at the early stage, before the barreling, so this we're talking about before it's going in the barrel, it's a very pure process. You basically make a shtickle of porridge, and then you filter out all the porridge, and you've got what's called the water, the sweet water, and then you start the distillation. Everyone's got their unique distillation. The only difference between Scottish and Japanese is that in Scotland, you can have each company will deal with their competitors' different malts. So they will take a malt even from the biggest competitor. You'll have Glenfiddich, who's got a Sinner's Nefesh to whatever, Johnny Walker, whatever, or whatever. There's three main big whiskey companies in Scotland, and they all trade between them, even though they're very big competitors. So their malts, or now as it's becoming very fashionable, and it's becoming very, very big, this is going to be the new big thing in the future, is grain whiskies. That's becoming a whole new pasha. So they'll be trading all with each other. Whereas the Japanese, because of the Japanese gaiva, they will not, everything has to be in-house. So until the stage of the actual spirit, which then has to go into barrels, the Japanese whiskey will be a very, very kosher product. The question is the barrels. Mm-hmm. So the barrels, that brings us to the good old Shaila of barrels. The Shaila of barrels, how do you look at the barrels? Do you look at a sherry barrel? Is it imparting taste? Is it giving sweetness? Is it not? You've got the famous Dying Weiss Tshuva, where he very much felt that, again, it really depends who you speak to. And it depends which factory, which company you speak to. When I say which company, I mean which whiskey taster, which whiskey blender you're speaking to, which master blender you're speaking to, because everyone's got their own mahalach, and you can speak to one master blender, and he will tell you that Avada, he's doing it, he's using a sherry for the taste, and there'll be others. I've had experience certainly with two of the largest in England and Ireland, where they were adamant, where they're absolutely adamant that all the sherry is there is to take away the bitterness, but it's not there to impart taste. The problem I keep on having, I must tell you, I'll be very honest with you, because I've now been involved for about 10 or 12 years, is that when they're suddenly Masich Lefitumah and we're all schmoozing about the various whiskies, then they drop their guard and they're all talking about the sweetness from the sherry, and they keep on speaking about that. So this is a problem which I don't know how one looks at that, right? I mean, al pi halacha, there's a whole huge big arichas. Don't know if we want to speak too much halacha tonight, everyone, depending on the taste of everyone. But the mitzvah is, there are those that want to say that even if a wine barrel, even if a wine barrel is not going to impart taste, but this Kenzain, a sherry barrel, which is 40% strength, sherry is 40% strength, that would impart taste. Now, as far as, so what happens is like this. Once you've got your new make spirit, that new make spirit goes into a barrel. And then that barrel will give taste to it, right? If it's oak, so obviously a Japanese whiskey is going to be Japanese oak. If it's an American, so it's Washington bourbon, is brand new Washington oak barrels. Yeah, okay, it depends, everyone. You've got New York State.
But very recently, said the supplier of the wood is right next to where they make the distiller of the bourbon in Kentucky. He got the barrels, he showed me the barrel.
It's very, very interesting. But again, it gives a complete difference, a very rough and it's very bourbon. And then you've got the European, which again is a different type of oak. And obviously the Japanese, they're saying, we're using Japanese oak, and the Japanese. But one thing is certain, that the Japanese, their whiskies have got a very lot of tastes, and they're definitely using left, right and centre Bordeaux wine barrels, they're using sherry, they're using any different type, whatever they're using. It's very interesting, I must tell you, last week I was in Ireland and I was looking at a whiskey, a very famous Irish whiskey, and it gave me a very big insight into certain companies, how they treat a sherry barrel. So if you're looking at an actual sherry barrel, you've got two ways, right? You can either put the new make spirit into a sherry barrel, and then afterwards put some other new make spirits into bourbon, which are kosher, basically kosher. Yeah, okay, you char it because you open it, so it gives it whatever it gives. And then, like Mamish, like Yidavon in Yom Kippur, Bertzosa, Oiches, Bertzosa, Shulach, some people must have a Girsa, you know, one of the things, you know. Like Kahina, a whiskey maker, he mixes, he blends, and when you're blending, so you can blend the two, and obviously for those that are machne, and there's a very, very large growing group of people, when they go into the pasha of whiskey, they are being machne, right? They are being machne, and therefore, that's one way of doing it. But then there's also, and which many of the whiskies, the slightly cheaper brands are doing, but love dafka cheaper brands. They're using a barrel for a sherry finish. A sherry finish means that you've got your, you've put it in a bourbon cask, and it's got this taste which is very distinct, different from the sherry. Lav dafke, it's the sherry taste. It's a different wood. One is a European oak, which is one taste. The Kodesh Baruch Hu made European oak has got one taste of vanillin. And then you've got the bourbon, which is the Washington oak. Right? Now, the interesting thing is that a finish, if you're using, think about it, every sherry cask costs a hoyin rav. It's a very expensive. Sherry cask. They used to be cheap, the whole of England used to be full of them.
Cooper, right?
Yeah, no, but they used to be, the whole place was because they used to send them, they never used to send the sherry to England by, the bottling was always done here. But since 1970, or 1979, they started bottling them there. That's why sherry casks have become very expensive. If you think about it, think what's on the soy in there. You've got a sherry cask, and you put it in for a finish, you don't need more than 6 weeks to give it a finish. So they're going to use the sherry cask, and they use it for 6 weeks, and then they'll empty it out, and then they'll put in more schoira, another 6 weeks, new schoira, which has come from the bourbon, and then they'll use it again, and again, and again. So you can have sometimes a situation, it's unbelievable. There are two companies. One company are so strict that they will only use the sherry, even if it's for a finish, they will only use it twice. Twice! That's it. After the second time, they're not interested. Some companies who have got, that's their shitter. Lav dafka that their whiskies are more expensive. And that's the way they work. And then you've got others that will use a sherry cask 100 times. 100 times. So there might be a nice raya to die in vice, because what's going on here? I've got the Shona Azois, Azois Kevet, and I'll be Alocha. If you've used a keli and you've kept something in it for 24 hours and then you empty it, so you've got one miluri, then you need another miluri, you need a third miluri. So it could well be, according to most Paiskim, it's the Shaya, there's two long shachs, one in Kuf Lamed Zayin and one in Kuf Lamed Hey. Yeah? But according to most Paiskim, and Achayra Loshna and Achaba, it would work out that that sherry is a kosher of sherry cask. Once in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of the reason why I go from place to place is because Eretz Yisrael want to have gewisse constraints. I got a message that they wanted me to create a kosher sherry. Why not a kosher sherry? How do you create a kosher sherry? So Carmel did a kosher sherry. Very expensive. Don't know why they did it. But they dug out Carmel wines that they were bringing over and they were bottling them. So things that Eretz Yisrael and doing it. Well, there's a second way, in theory, how you can create a kosher sherry. And that is by taking this sherry cask and doing a milui v'iri for 24 hours, emptying it out. Or as I tried to, when I was speaking to Glenfiddich, I tried to convince them to do it with water. But they didn't seem to take my idea on board, not yet. I said, all you need to do is we can, because they've started a new bar ring, you put a, they now have a bar on each barrel where you can have a history. So I said, well, why don't you take 50 barrels, fill it up, fill them up with water, 24 hours, empty it out, fill it up a second time, 24 hours, empty it out, and a third time, you've had milui v'iri, and then you've got a kosher, a sherry cask. But the mitzvah is that you've got certain whiskies where the nitzah are using the sherry cask again and again and again and again. It's very mustaba that the Japanese, being what they are, will not do such a thing. I want to mention something else, which even those whiskey companies who very much fall into what Diane Weiss says, I heard it from them not once, not twice, many, many times, and that is that the port, again, I'm not talking about casks of port, which they're using them for finish, and again, and again, and again. I'm talking about an Ernster port cask. They don't call them casks. It looks like the same port pipes, but it's not pipes. It's a Portuguese word, pipes, which is P-I-P-E-S, but it's a big barrel. And there, they all seem to think that since it's sitting in there, the port sits in there. Some of them, port is a type of a Portuguese wine, very heavy wine that sits in there. It can sit in there for 70 years. Some of them sit in there. Ich habe gehört from the Grestemund, people that can knows different whiskies from 10,000. Some of them can differentiate between 10,000 different notes, and they get it right the whole time. That's their job, right? Probably one of the highest paid jobs in the country. But they said, Avada, the port pipes, which it looks like it says port pipes, they are so encrusted.
What's crusted mean?
Encrusted with the residue of the port. Avada, They are there to give time, which was very interesting. Because strictly speaking, if you put some, whatever you're putting in your whiskey, you don't want your whiskey to have a taste of wine. That's one of the tenets of Diavice. You don't want your whiskey, forget it. It's mafsid it. That's, as I said, the big shire in Mogan Avram. Is it mafsid? Or do you say a Dover Chorif? And that's why those that are machmor on sherry, they say, well, sherry is the 40%. There's another, a very interesting, I thought it's going to grow, but it seems that bourbon casks have now gone down in price, and therefore that's changed a lot. And that is, when there was a shortage of bourbon 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and they all started using hundreds and thousands of wine casks, which is also from American, Californian wine casks. And the first time I spotted that was because I've been involved a very lot in wine making, and I was walking past and I suddenly saw these casks, and by the bung I saw it was stained, like a red stain all around the bung. I said, these are wine casks. She says, yeah, you're right. Is that wine casks? And the Meissigerette, we deal with a very large company. They don't want anything which has got a shaychus to sherry and wine, even though wine may be very different to sherry. There may be many more colours on the wine casks. Possibly the wine casks were cheaper. But then they suddenly took a great liking to the wine casks. Winecast. And you know why they took a liking to the Winecast? Because it saves them on the caramel. The wine is, because it's such a rare tannin kind of thing, it has colour and it adds natural colour to it, so they don't have to put in caramel. That's one reason. And another reason is that if you take a whiskey which has had caramel in and you keep it in the sun, or even if you don't keep it in the sun too long, but if you keep it for a long, long period of time, it suddenly grows lighter, gets lighter. And the reason is because the caramel, with the time, especially if the sun, you keep a bottle of whiskey in the sun, you'll see after, especially in a continuous sunshine, it dissipates the deep colour of the caramel. The Sha'ain Cane, where it's natural coming from the wine, they say, but the Mesa, that is a Shailov Chazuta. Chazuta cannot, most of the Poiskim are made, so that's not the Shaila. That those that are machma on sherry because of tam, that would be different with wine casks. So it's a bit mixing up, you know, for a person that's looking for all different things. So when he's going to be sherry, so then he's got the Shailov sherry. When he's going to have a wine cask, so then there'll be a Shailov Chazuta. But when he sees on the bottle port pipes, right, then the Cha'ira, according to the information that we heard, then one definitely should be machmed not to use, unless you know for sure that it's a cheaper kind of thing and they're just using it for a finish and they're using that same port pipe that's being used over again and again. Say that.
One big concern I have with Japanese and Indian whiskey is avoided. Is avoided.